Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Rebel Room Postgame Edition. Ryan Green, Christine Killemeyer coming to you from Salt Lake City, where UNLV, it's hard to have big expectations when a team's coming off of back-to-back losses, but you got to think a lot of people thought that UNLV was going to snap the funk tonight. They didn't, losing to Utah 66-61, and this one may be tougher to explain than the first two in the skid.
Yeah, just I think the thing that makes it that much more impactful is the fact that it was Utah that swept the Rebels this season, a 12-13 team. Was 11-13 coming into the game, manages to sweep UNLV in the regular season.
And Lon Kruger even said, you know, yesterday in practice, he said, you know, the last two games came against good teams. They got whipped by good teams. This one, you know, this is a Utah team that was really playing for nothing more than bragging rights.
This is not a good Utah team at all. They just managed. I will say Carlin Brown did have a very good game. I don't know if he necessarily had a good game, but no one could seem to stop him on defense.
Hey, when he's perfecting that dribble drive, I think that's a pretty good game.
His dribble drive looked stellar against this UNLV defense. Coming off the bench to score 18 points, I mean, you can't. The Utah bench completely dismantled the UNLV bench. I mean, Trayvon got no support. He outscored the rest of the team.
Yeah.
His 32 points beat out the rest of the team's 29. It's just, he can't carry this team by himself. He needs people to help him out.
And, you know, you remember when UNLV was in a little bit of a swoon earlier in the year, and they said, you know, Lon Kruger would always say we need that second scoring threat behind Trevon.
It's easy to say it, though.
And no, but he was right at that point, because at that point they were turning to him a little too much, and then Chase Stanback emerged. Oscar had a couple more big games. And, you know, Chase Stanback played okay tonight, but, you know, I mean, really nobody seemed comfortable on the offensive end other than Trevon. And he had 32 points. Third time this year he's gone over 30. 7 of 10 from the floor in the second half. You know, a good game, but, I mean,
it's a good game, but he came out of it beating himself up simply because he couldn't. It was a good game, but he couldn't make the shots that needed to be made when it mattered the most. Like, the very last, well, not the last possession, but the last meaningful possession when he had the ball at the three-point line and did the pump fake, got, you know, Tilly up in the air or whatever, and said, hesitated, and then decided to heave it up and clanked off the front of the rim.
Had the lane to the rim, and look, I mean, you know, it's easy for all of us to sit here and say he should have taken it, and I'm sure when Trayvon watches it on film, he's going to know he should have taken it.
To be fair, when he drove the possession before, his shot got blocked, and who's to say he wouldn't have driven the ball then and gotten it blocked, too, The Utah defense knew who was going to take those last crucial shots for UNLV.
And
it was
called
be,
two yeah. timeouts to set it up.
I know.
You knew it.
Yeah, it's I think everyone, a four-year-old could have figured out who was going to take that last shot. I was watching that game. That was this UNLV team is slowly deteriorating at the most not convenient time to deteriorate.
Well,
instead of
dwelling and talking on what really was, I mean, let's talk about it. Let's say this was a pretty ugly basketball game, a pretty bad basketball game.
I feel like we were saying this after the Utah game too at home.
And look, Utah did different things this time. You know, this time Carlin Brown was the guy they couldn't answer. Last time it was David Foster who had the game of his life that night. And tonight
finishes with a big fat goose egg.
He had no points, missed two shots badly on the same possession, had two rebounds, two blocks. I mean, he didn't do anything. But, you know, UNLV had opportunities to get back in this game. You know, rebounding again was a little spotty. They gave up a lot of key offensive rebounds. Most notably the one right before the half, which resulted in the Marshall Henderson three to make it an 8-point game at the break. You know, we can talk about all that, but instead, you know, what people want to hear about is, and what people are talking about right now is the big picture. Because look, coming into this game, this was the start of a 5-game stretch to close the regular season against 5 teams directly below UNLV in the league standings. Widely assumed that they had to win all 5 to guarantee themselves a spot. And this was the one that people were worried about. It's out of the way now. They lost it. 19-7 overall, 7-5 in the league.
It's out of the way, but the worrying isn't.
Exactly, because 4 games left. None of the opponents are really marquee. You got Colorado State Saturday, followed by TCU, Air Force, and Wyoming. you know, wins in those games aren't going to really turn anybody's heads.
If anything, their RPI is going to go down from those games. Yeah.
Let's just, for argument's sake, assume that they win out. And okay. I know that's dangerous right now with this team, but let's just assume it. Do four wins in those four games, you think, do enough to get UNLV comfortable
because
on Selection Sunday, barring whatever happens in the Mountain West tournament?
Regardless of the Mountain West Conference tournament, you need to hope that every other conference has whoever's favored to win that conference tournament win out. Otherwise, then it throws the whole seeding off and the whole selection process off, whereas you have some, you know, Cinderella team making a dream run in their conference tournament, winning it, getting the automatic bid, and then you have to give the at-large bid to a team that's fully deserving. I mean, you could look like Butler. What if Butler loses in the Horizon League
tournament? And you're right, because look at some of these other leagues out there that now, I mean, UNLV doesn't want to be scoreboard watching. That's that's not what you want. And, you know, look at the Missouri
it's
Valley.
Definitely not what the fans want right now.
The Missouri Valley. You know, Northern Iowa was the nationally ranked team in that group, but, I mean,
just lost a mediocre Bradley team.
Yeah, and Wichita State could win that league. Exactly. You know, there's a lot of teams that could win that league. The A-10, I think, is the one that's catching a lot of people's attention.
It's heating up. That conference is looking really good right now.
Yeah, Temple in the top 25. Richmond just killing people in the top 25. So, you know, UNLV needs to make some kind of statement here late, and you got to think the only way that they're going to make a big statement is in the Mountain West tournament. That's just the way it looks.
I don't think they have to win it, but I think
they've got to beat somebody good there.
I think they need to make it to, I almost think at this point anymore, I think they need to make it to the championship game.
I think so too, because you know, you look at it right now.
Say
it all ended right now. Say today was the last day of the regular season. UNLV's got that 4 seed, and in the 5 game, they're playing against Colorado State. Now, Colorado State, you would have to think they're pretty comfortable beating on their home floor. But that also means you're playing the number 1 seed in the 2nd round, potentially, which means BYU. Now, you beat BYU again, probably in. I mean, that's, you know, look, they're still going to be in the top 20 at that point. But look, this is all speculation right now. If the season ended today, I think it'd be very tough to give UNLV a bid right now.
That's the thing. They have some great wins from earlier in the season. And I know the selection committee always claims that they try to look at an entire body of work. And yes, they have a decent strength of schedule. They'll have a better RPI than they had last year. Mm-hmm. Key wins over, you know, top, you know, 50 RPI programs. But I still think a lot of it, I think more than people realize, more weight is put on how you finish the end of the season. And man, are they fizzling at the worst time. Like, this is not, you need to finish strong. I almost, like, give back for, I'm sure some of the UNLV fans would be like, I give back, like, the wins at Arizona and at Louisville and have us finish out the conference season a lot stronger, get a better seed in the conference tournament. Because I feel like conference play is more and more a crucial part in deciding who makes it to the NCAA tournament, not just non-con play.
And a lot of what's going to factor in is how, you know, is this a 3-bid league? Because look, BYU in, New Mexico in.
Oh, see, now, I think it's definitely a 3-bid league. It's
now
just
that's the question, because if it is a 3-bid league, you would still have to like UNLV's chances compared to San Diego State's, because San Diego State in those last 4 games has to go to New Mexico, has to go to BYU. So San Diego State's road the rest of the way is probably a little tougher when you really look at it.
But also at that point, I mean, you're getting to a point where BYU and New Mexico are solidly in the 1-2 spots in the conference. Do they maybe have a letdown game focusing more on tournament play? Again, that's all speculation, but you know, it's those games don't become as big and as important for those programs. Do they maybe unintentionally let off the gas pedal a little bit, and all of a sudden San Diego State's, you know, looking really good?
I don't think they're playing anybody good enough to.
Yeah.
Except for each other. They still play each other in Provo, but that's about it.
Was it February 27th?
Somewhere right around there.
Yeah, like next Saturday is that game. That'll be a game to watch.
Now, look, wins aren't just going to happen for UNLV. They've got to...
Clearly.
Because I think at the root of all this, they have to find a way to get back to being the team that they once were. not too long ago. What is the one from these last three games? What is the one glaring difference that, I mean, just?
Obviously the Derek Jasper injury, but I mean, on top of Jasper going down, offensively, Belfield shuts down, Stanbeck shuts down, Kendall Wallace shuts down. All these guys are all shutting down offensively and hitting a slump, I guess. It's a slump. I don't know what else is going on, but all three of them are hitting this, you know, slump all at the same time, and it's all at the most, you know, critical point in the season.
You know, and it's, for me, it's this, you know, look, Trayvon Willis uses this term a lot, and a lot of the time you think he's just doing it to BS and just, you know, say something PC, but he talks about this team dictating. And that is so important on the offensive end for this team, because when they're really rolling, like that BYU game, they were doing what they want. But now you'll see these possessions where you see them just dribble, you know, move around the perimeter and hand it off, you know, 5-6 times and then take a bad shot. It's just, I don't know what's going to shake it out of this team at this point, but they got to find a way to do it, because look, I mean, even playing like they did tonight, they very well could win their next four. But after that...
As poor as some of these guys have been playing for the past couple of games, do you think it's a point where maybe coaches within the conference have Kruger figured out?
Whew. It's a loaded question. It's and, you know, I mean, look, Lon Kruger, he changes things up a decent amount. I don't want to ever say that they have someone completely figured out, but I think more than anything, teams are noticing what's working against these guys this year. Yeah. They're noticing that, you know, if you work inside quite a bit, UNLV's having trouble defending inside. They're having trouble rebounding.
They're having trouble shooting the ball from the perimeter.
They're just, I mean, if you get in these guys' faces right now, they're having a hard time. I mean, look at the San Diego State game. They were having such a hard time creating off the dribble. Such a hard time. I mean, if you just get in their kitchen a little bit, you know, their confidence might be, you know, nobody wants to admit that the team's confidence is rattled, but you kind of get that sense.
And I feel like it's every single time they almost are just putting up desperation shots and, like, this is the key possession that'll bring us back into the game, instead of calming down, playing smart. And it's a lot harder to play smart when your confidence is shot and you're just like, we can't, it's almost playing out of panic. And I think they're kind of shutting down in that in this panic mode.
It could be anything right now.
I know.
It really could. There's theories abound. Who knows right now? It is, either way, UNLV is now in an absolute can't lose situation the rest of the regular season. One more very well could do it.
Which is not the situation they wanted to be in, and is in the exact same situation this team was in last year. And I don't know. I feel like there's still a potential for this team to just shut down completely. I think Trayvon Willis wants this more than anyone, being the defined leader of the team. But I could also easily see this team just shutting down completely.
And now, with that said, here's my final question. I was wondering this the other day.
Yes.
This team has no seniors that play very significant minutes.
Right.
Do you think maybe that has something to do with this too, in the sense that you don't have those guys who are having their last chance here, having their, you know, do you think maybe there isn't that urgency across the board?
Not necessarily, because I don't think you have to have a team where you have that kind of urgency, especially the way the game is now with so many teams. I'm not saying UNLV's one of these teams, but with so many teams having, you know, guys that are one and done and stuff, it's, you shouldn't have to wait for it to be a now or never type of situation, because every season, I mean, you only have one junior year. Like, you could, who knows? Yeah. Like, a guy could go down in the next game and blow out his knee and not play for the rest of his life. You know, it's, I don't think you need that kind of senior pressure. And if I don't think that's what's missing from this team. I think what's missing from this team is someone, well, besides Trayvon, that will step up and, like, will this team to victory. And Trey obviously can't do it himself. You need that second score. Really, you need a third score if you really truly want to be successful in D1 basketball, but they can't even get a second one, so I don't know why we're going to even be talking about getting a third one. So,
well, they're going to have to find one fast. Again, Saturday, UNLV, Colorado State, 3 p.m., LasVegasSun.com/Rebels for all your coverage of that one, live in-game coverage. post-game coverage with photos, videos, stats, analysis, all that good stuff. Any final comments?
Hopefully a good game, too.
Yeah, because we haven't seen one in a little while.
It'll be two Saturdays.
Yeah.
It'll be 2 weeks come Saturday.
Well, for Christine Killemeyer, I'm Ryan Green. We are signing off from Salt Lake City. We will talk to you again on Saturday after UNLV takes on Colorado State. Until then, take care.